Now, today we're talking about something which obviously is horrific for those that have experienced and a nightmare, of course, of parents, and that is the hidden toll of body shaming on social media and the effect it has in particular on teenage girls. There's obviously been a lot talked about this issue in recent times with the under 16 social media ban legislated by the federal government. Now, sometimes these are dismissed as just comments, but new research shows these harmful words might cut far deeper than we already think, which is particularly frightening because I think we know that it is very, very scary. Even when teenage girls simply witness body shaming directed at others, their brains respond as if those insults were aimed at them, activating areas linked to emotional pain and social threat. These consequences aren't fleeting. They can have lifelong impacts. So to talk us through this research and what we can do collectively to create healthier, safer environments online and protect our loved ones, Talia Prince, postdoctoral research fellow in youth mental health and neuroimaging at the University of the Sunshine Coast, joins us now on the line. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks for having me, Nelson.
No worries at all. Your study found that teenage girls' brains react to body shaming comments even when they're not the direct target of them. Elaborate on how that works.
Yeah, so in our research, we looked at the psychological impacts of online body shaming among adolescent females. We saw that it was very prevalent. There was links to things like body dissatisfaction and eating disorders and the desire for appearance modification. So then we wanted to look at what's going on in the brain when adolescent girls are viewing these kind of situations online. So we created a set of social media scenarios. So they look like Instagram posts. Some of them had online body shaming comments while others had neutral comments. And then we put them in to an MRI and we wanted to look at what parts of the brain are showing greater responses when these young females are viewing online body shaming content. And as you said before, we found greater activity or responses in regions that are involved in emotional pain, self-image, and social judgment. And this is really just showing that body shaming content is processed as socially and emotionally significant, even for those that aren't experiencing it themselves. We also found that girls who had recently been bullied showed stronger responses in memory and threat-related areas. So this is almost as if they were reliving their past experiences with cyberbullying, so prolonging really the distress that they're experiencing. And then we also found that girls with more positive body image had more regulated emotional responses. So, better body satisfaction may act as a bit of a buffer when viewing these negative online experiences.
So the brain processes things that happen online in the same way that it might process an emotional response in the real world, the same areas the brain are activated.
Yeah, there's a lot of research out there to show that there is, like in terms of victimization or experiencing bullying, it is similar, if not even more harmful online, especially given that, online it can be anonymous, it can be widespread, and it's constantly there. So people are continuously experiencing these negative comments online.
And it's particularly harrowing when you look at it alongside the statistics of how many people have observed or experienced directly cyberbullying online. What did your research find in terms of the percentages of people that have experienced that?
Yeah, so in our survey, we surveyed 336 teenage girls, and we found that 98% had an experience of cyberbullying, whether as a victim, a bully, or a bystander. And then we found that of that, 62% of them were directly targeted because of their appearance. So for adolescent females, appearance-related cyberbullying or body image-related cyberbullying is the most common form of cyberbullying experienced. And then in terms of stats, we also found that among those who had experienced this kind of bullying, 96% said that they wanted to change how they looked because of these experiences, and more than 80% even considered cosmetic procedures because of the experiences.
Jeez Louise. That's very scary. Mm. How much of that is the algorithm and the way that prioritises content, do you think?
Oh, I think a lot of it. I think when we're, I guess with algorithms, it's you're continuously being showed what you're exposed to or what you're clicking on. So if you have one experience or, you know, you're really interested in one thing, you're going to continuously be seeing that. So if you're looking at photos of, you know, like the ideal beauty and things like that, then you're going to be more likely to then experience negative comments. Yes, I think that's especially prevalent for adolescent females as well.
Yeah. Did your research look into at all the genders of the bully that's doing the body shaming style cyberbullying? Is it often boys towards girls or girls towards girls or both?
Not our research specifically, but in the literature it does say that females are more likely to be victims of cyberbullying while males are more likely to perpetrate. But even though our study focused on females, there's a lot of research to show that adolescent males are also exposed to cyberbullying that directly targets their appearance. However, it's a little bit different because, you know, they're targeting things like their muscularity and things like that rather than like the thin ideal, which is more common with females.
Yeah. It's concerning too because the teenage brain obviously developing and like a sponge. What can firstly, what can parents do to protect their kids?
I think it's really important that parents provide a safe space for their kids to come to talk about any of the experiences that they see online. I think it's also important to start early with consistent body image and online safety education as best as parents can, I guess. And, you know, teaching children that their identity isn't solely tied to what they look like and how they present themselves to the world. They're so much bigger and better than all those things. And then I guess in terms of, you know, I guess also holding platforms accountable for moderating appearance-related abuse as well. And then, yeah, just celebrating diversity of body types and, yeah, things like that.
Yeah. Do you think that the government's ban on under-16s using social media will be effective?
It's a bit of a complex question because there is a lot of research to support the fact that, you know, social media is really great for social connectedness for a lot of adolescents, and that is a buffer against a lot of mental health issues and things like that. So I think the ban will obviously reduce, or hopefully reduce, how much adolescents are being exposed to these negative, negative experiences like cyberbullying. But I think having more, you know, reporting tools and supports in place is more beneficial than an outright ban. I could talk on that for a while.
Yes, no, and thank you so much for making the time this morning. I wish we could chat longer, but the clock has got us, unfortunately.
All right.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
No worries at all. That was Talia Prince, postdoctoral research fellow in youth mental health and neuroimaging at the University of the Sunshine Coast.